Thank you very much, Brother Aubrey. I'd like to say that it has been a privilege and a blessing for us to have been able to share with you this time for these weeks, and we thank God for the opportunity afforded us. And we trust, as we've said on another occasion, that our time with you has been a source of encouragement, the means of blessing. I want to ask you to remember us in prayer as we continue to spread the good message of the gospel of Christ. I'd like to read with you this evening from the book of Numbers, chapter 23. The book of Numbers, chapter 23, reading the first 12 verses of this chapter. A familiar story, I believe, to some of us, if not all of us. When we think of this particular person, Balaam, we think of a man who was totally confused and mixed up. A man with a life with no direction and no hope. Verse 1 of chapter 23 says, And Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here 3 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, Stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to a high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, Return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse for me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them all together. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. I'm sure the Lord would bless to our hearts the public reading of his word. A few years ago, we had the privilege of having in our island a young girl by the name of Tamara Smith. Perhaps most of you, if not all, remember that name. She was a young girl at 15 years of age whose last desire or last wish was that she might visit the Bahamas. She lived on the west coast of the United States, and she had a terminal disease to die at any time. But her last wish was that she might visit the Bahamas. Now, I do not know what prompted this. Perhaps in that part of the United States, they have television advertisements or billboards or other means of advertising the Bahamas, and she evidently was impressed with what she saw or heard about the Bahamas, and her last wish was that she might come to the Bahamas. The Ministry of Tourism heard about it in cooperation with a particular group in America that seeks to grant to individuals like this their last desires, especially when they know that they do not have very long to live. And so she made the trip. Officials from the ministry, our local Ministry of Tourism, met the plane, and they put out the red carpet for her and her parents. There were people who gave gifts to the young lady and gave her a good time. She went to parties, they had dinners, and it was just a great time. In her estimation, that she experienced here in these islands. And then she boarded the plane after a few days to head back to her home on the West Coast. She wasn't in the air very long before she expired. She never arrived home alive, but she did have her last dying request. Usually, in our context, if a person is very, very ill, we do whatever we can to make them comfortable, and we would do anything they would ask for, knowing or feeling that this might be the last thing we could do for them. And so we'd listen very attentively, we'd tend them very carefully to make sure that they get everything they wish in their last moment upon earth. Tamara Smith did have the desire of her heart, but not Balaam. Balaam's desire was never fulfilled. His desire was that he might die the death of the righteous, and his last end might be like theirs. But he never had that desire fulfilled. Now, I do not know what prompted Balaam to have this interest, this desire. Perhaps he knew of persons who believed in God and who died. And maybe he was there and saw the way it was with them as they were leaving life, exchanging time for eternity. Maybe he was deeply impressed by that. Or maybe sitting around campfires, he probably heard others talk about how the Christian died, how the person who knows the Lord died. I was told that on a particular island here in the Bahamas, that two people were dying the same evening. On the northern end of the island, if I remember how the island lay, on the northern end of the island of the settlement, a lady was dying, and on the southern end of that's the opposite north, right? South. On the southern end of the community, another lady was dying. Two ladies were dying. Around the bedside of the lady that was dying in the south part of the settlement, folk were singing the good old hymns of the faith. And she was joining in. And as they sang, she sang, and her voice got softer and softer until she could not be heard. And as the folk sang, they only saw that she opened her eyes brightly and then closed them, and she was gone. But then on the western end of the community, another lady was dying. Folk were standing around, but around in that room with that lady, they were screaming, and there was anxiety, and there was fear that swept across the face of that lady. On the southern end of the community, a saint went home to God. On the western end of the community, a person went to hell, and there was a difference in their death. I went to see a man not very long ago. Well, when I say not very long ago, preachers not very long ago could be 3 years, 4 years, 2 years. But some time ago, I went to see a gentleman who worked at the parcel post for many years. He was very sick. And I walked into the room. He said, "Brother Tom, I'm glad to see you." He wasn't from the Brethren Assembly, but a born-again believer. He says, "I'm so glad to see you. Sit down right here, Brother Tom. Let me share something with you." And he took a little black book, and he opened it, and he started to show me. He said, "See, I have my obituary all written out. Everything I want them to say, all the hymns I want them to sing." He died in a matter of weeks, but here is a man who knew the Lord, and he was anxious to go to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. He had no fear. He had his obituary written out, the hymns all, and all the people we wanted to take apart. Because, you see, when a child of God is about to leave time, there is no fear. Most of us, a lot of us older ones, would remember our brother Howard Farrington. He's gone to be with the Lord now.
But he got saved in 1962. And the occasion of his salvation, he picked up a little booklet that his wife had had for some 25 years. One of these little booklets, called Our Salvation Bible. Perhaps you've seen them. Some used to be in red, and they had verses concerning salvation and the power of God in changing human life. And after she died, he picked it up, and he was reading it in the bank one morning whilst waiting to do business. And right there in the bank, he committed his life to the Lord. But his wife died of cancer. His wife died of cancer. And she had been so sick. Cancer had done her so bad inside that she couldn't eat. She couldn't move. Anything she did, if she wanted to be turned, they had to turn her. Whatever she did in that bed, they had to help her to do. And then the night of her death came. She was lying there as always. They would be putting little wet cotton across her lips that were parched because of the fever. And she lay still, and suddenly she raised up and said, "Look at Jesus!" And she fell back and died. Now, Balaam probably heard some stories like that. I don't know. But his desire was that he might die the death of the righteous and his last end be like theirs, his last end be like theirs. But his was a desire never fulfilled. Now, to be sure, beloved, this evening, it is God's desire that every person in this building tonight would die the death of the righteous. For the Bible says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what Calvary is all about. That's, my friends, what Jesus came to provide. He came to die that men might be saved and die the death of the righteous. That's why he came. He is not willing that any should perish. He delights not in the death of a sinner. And I say to you tonight, heaven doesn't rejoice when a sinner goes to hell. It does not. I believe it more. It is God's desire for all mankind that they might die the death of the righteous. And this is why we have the provisions of God for man's redemption, greatly provided by himself. He wouldn't trust anyone else to provide it because he knew that they would come up short. He himself undertook that great task to provide for man an adequate salvation, that he, through faith in him, might have that wonderful privilege of dying the death of the righteous. But we come to Balaam. We come to this man that, as you read this story, leaves you with a lot of questions in your mind. Because of his speaking of going to meet the Lord or going in to talk with the Lord. And you have to read the entire story to get the right picture of the man Balaam. And when you read the entire story of the man Balaam, you will conclude, as I have concluded and a lot of others have concluded, that Balaam was a false prophet. He was not a true prophet of God. He did not know God. And like the intervention of God, when Saul went to call back Samuel and he went to the witch of Endor, like the intervention of God to actually bring back Samuel that the witch could not bring back, I believe that in the light in this situation with Balaam, there were interventions of God. In the movement of a man that was not in touch with him, who did not know him, Because, you see, his people, that is God's people, were at stake. And I said to someone not very long ago, when it comes to the Lord's people, God will do anything to protect them. God will do anything to preserve his people. God will do anything, my friend, to make sure that his people get what they need. God will do anything. He'll even stop the sun. He did that. Stop the sun, and God will do that. My friends, he'll even stop the mouths of lions and take the sting or the heat out of fire. He'll do that. He has done it. When it comes to the people of God, that's why you have to be careful how you handle the people of God. You have to be very careful. Let's look a little closer for the time we have left at the life of Balaam. Why did he not die the death of the righteous? I submit to you, first of all, that he did not die the death of the righteous, or his desire was never fulfilled, because Balaam rejected God's will. Balaam rejected God's will. Now in chapter 22, Balak sends to Balaam to come to curse the people of God. He sends for him to come and to pronounce a curse upon Israel, who had been led out of the land of Egypt and was being led by God towards the promised land. About 2.5 million people are scattered over the wilderness as they moved towards the promised land. It was a number, as Balaam said, that can't be numbered. There were so many of them. God was marshaling them on. God was directing them. And Balaam had an envy in his heart for the people of God. And you know, the devil never ceased to have envy in his heart against the people of God. He tries in every way to hinder their progress, to stifle them, to hurt them. But let me tell you, God will have them to march on. God will protect them, and Balaam rejected the will of God. And when the request came from the king that he might come and curse the people of God, it was a request out of selfishness. It was a request out of selfishness and a desire to destroy the people of God. He offered Balaam rewards. Or he says, Balaam, verse 7 of chapter 22, they came, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination. Now, you want to remember that expression, the rewards of divination, whenever you think of the life of Balaam, the rewards of divination in their hands. And it was wealth. And then when we come to verse 17 of the same chapter, chapter 22, it says, "For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse for me this people." And so there was rewards offered to Balaam, the rewards of divination and the rewards of great promotion. Balaam says to the people, "Now wait, let me go in and find out what the Lord would say." Verse 12 of chapter 22, it says, "And God said unto Balaam," he went in, "and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Thou shalt not curse them, for they are blessed." And my friends, whom God has blessed, no man can curse. Whom God has blessed, no man can curse. And God says to Balaam, "Don't go. Don't you curse those people, for they are blessed. They have been blessed by me." And Balaam comes out and says to the folk, "I can't go." Not that he didn't want to go. He said, "I can't go. God says I mustn't do it." And then over the page, when they come to him again in verse 17, down to verse 19, it says, Balaam says, "Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. For yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Now that sounds like God changed his mind, does it not? But God didn't change his mind. As you read the story, that's why you have to read the whole thing. As you read the story, you know that God didn't change his mind, because God does not change his mind. And so we have the reward. Then we have the disobedience of Balaam. Now in verse 12, God told him not to go. When we come to verse 20, we hear God saying, all right, if you want, and this is what God is saying, Balaam, if you want to go, go. But remember, you won't be able to curse them. And when we come to verse 22, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Note verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went. Now that's proof that God didn't change his mind. And what God was actually saying, Balaam, now you can go if you want to, but you're not going to be able to do what you want to do. And I'm going to make sure you're not going to do what you want to do. And so Balaam went, and God was angry, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way. Balaam's disobedience, he knew God's mind. He followed his own way, like most of us, or all of us, as the Bible tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And this is what Balaam did. He went his own way. He had certain interests, certain desires, and I believe those rewards were uppermost in his mind. Because of covetousness, he went. Because of covetousness, he went. Because of pride, he went. The Bible tells us he loved the wages of unrighteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. And he resorted to sorcery. Now this is another reason why, of course, Balaam, we know that Balaam wasn't a true prophet of God. Look at verse 23 of verse 1 of chapter 24. Verse 1 of chapter 24. We'll compare that with verse 23 of chapter 23. Verse 1 of chapter 24 says, And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, note this now, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Enchantments from whom? From the devil. You see, when Balaam, all of these things that Balaam was saying in his heart and in his mind, he was seeking help from the devil. Never wanted help from God. He wanted to curse the people of God. Verse 23 then, of chapter 23, we read these words, Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob, and of Israel, what hath God wrought? You see, God said, listen, no matter how much you go to the devil can't hurt the people of God. You can't put old beer on the people of God. You can't. I read in a newspaper some time ago, and I clipped it out. A young lady got saved in Australia. She was from England. Her and her husband was from England. They moved to Australia and she became a Christian, the Billy Graham Crusade. And he goes on to say, and I even tried to call on spirit, on the spirit world to see what had happened to Beryl. Through demoniac influence, I'd had no problem overpowering her in the past, but I lost full control over her the night she committed her life to Christ. Until she did that, I could manipulate her to do whatever I wanted through demon possession. Through communing with the demons, he was able to have power over his wife. But the moment she got saved, he says, the night she got saved, he lost that power because there are no enchantments against Israel or the people of God. The devil can't hurt your friend. You are blessed by God if you are a child of God. Get all the Parvez you like. You heard, probably heard that name, old Parvez. He was living in Fox Hill years ago, and people used to go to Parvez and pay him all kinds of money, talking about putting spells on people. Ah, friend, not the child of God. There are no enchantments against Jacob or against Israel. Balaam, my friend, resorted to sorcery. He resorted to sorcery. Now, God warned him. God warned him and tried to cause him to change his course of action. When Balaam left to go, God told him, you'll not be able to curse them. You'll not be able to put a spell upon them. You'll not be able to cause victory to be had over my people. God warned him. Yet he would not listen. The angel stood in the way, as we have in verse 22 of chapter 22. The angel stood in the way. My friend, the donkey even spoke, and Balaam wouldn't listen. Now that's what you call a hard-hearted man. I normally ask the question when I come to this particular point. I say, just suppose your dog spoke to you, or your cat. What would you do? I know what I would do, and I suppose you'll do the same thing. You'll get out of there as fast as you can. A dog talking. You go there and you give him some food, and he looks up in your face and says, thank you, master. Well, I know that'll be something. But the donkey, a dumb animal, opened his mouth and spoke to Balaam to cause him. God was trying to cause Balaam to change his way. And Balaam wouldn't. And there are people alive tonight, maybe in this meeting tonight. God has done everything to speak to your heart, but you are as hard as nails, as someone has said. Your heart is callous and indifferent. Although God has spoken, he's probably spoken through death. He might have spoken through sickness. He might have spoken through other adversities, but you have not listened. You have not listened like Balaam, my friend. The Bible tells us that Balaam was a madman. When you come to 2 Peter chapter 2, it speaks of the madness of Balaam. This is the condition of the person outside of Jesus Christ who continue to resist the conviction of God the Spirit, who rebels against the things of God, the voice of God, the witness from God. Listen, their hearts are heavy. They are in the gall of bitterness, the Bible says. They are mad. Balaam was mad. He rejected the will of God. This is one of the reasons why he did not die the death of the righteous very quickly. We not only note the fact that he rejected God's will, but we note Balaam's frustration. You see, when you reject God's will, when you reject God's plan for your life, whether you are an unsaved person or a saved person, the saved person we're thinking of rejecting God's will for your life as a Christian, listen, there is frustration. The person who is not a Christian, when you reject the provisions of God for your eternal salvation, listen, it is frustration. Balaam's frustration. He calls to curse the people, but he's not able. He's not able to do what he wants. In verse 20 of chapter 22, this is most interesting. Balaam says, behold, look now, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. Now this is the part I want you to note, and I cannot reverse it. You see, Balaam will say, I tried to reverse I tried to reverse this spell from God to bless the people, but I was unable to. The powers that I deal with, the powers that I had access to, were no match for the power of God. And God put the words in Balaam's mouth. Note now, the blessing did not come from Balaam's heart. It came from his mouth. And it came from his mouth because God put those words in his mouth, and the words of his heart couldn't pass those words. The words of his mouth came out, the words of blessing. Because whom God hath blessed, no man can curse. He cannot do what he wants. I can't reverse it, he says. He cannot get what he wishes. He wants the reward. Balak says to him in verse 11 of chapter 24, he says, therefore now flee thou to thy place. Get away from me. I sought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. He said, Balaam, you're a fool. You let the Lord keep you back from honor. Let me tell you, if it was Balaam's wish, he wouldn't have been kept back. But he had no choice in the matter. Because you see, he was going to curse the people of God. And God would not allow him to do it. And my friends, let me say to you, any time God allows anything to come into your life as a believer, it's primarily for our spiritual good. Never for our destruction. He's not going to let the devil destroy us. We've been saved. Saved forever. Looking forward to glory. And whatever adversity comes into our life, they are designed to draw us nearer to the Lord, to get us to prove Him more, to get us to enjoy Him more, to get us to live for Him more in this life. But never to destroy us. Paul says, cast down, but not destroy. The Christians are not on the victory side. They are on the side that hath already won. We've already won, friends. The battle is over. The victory is won. We're just waiting for the day to get the crowns. Everything is finished. Listen, he cannot get what he wishes. He wanted those rewards. He cannot maintain what he had. He had the friendship of the king, and he couldn't maintain that. The king says in chapter 24, I'm through with you. Get out of here. Get away from me. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. And my friends, he had to leave. He was a frustrated man. He couldn't do what he wanted. He couldn't get what he wished, and he couldn't maintain what he had, just like Judas. You see, my friends, Balaam had a wrong heart. His desires were wrong. His desires were to curse the people of God, to destroy the people of God. Judas's heart was wrong. He sold the Lord Jesus Christ. He was interested, just like Balaam. He was concerned about rewards. Balaam was concerned about material success. And Judas was as well. And when Judas goes back to his friends and says, listen, I realize my mistake. They said, it's too late now. Don't come to us. Leave us and go about your business. He could not maintain the relationship he had with the Pharisees. Balaam couldn't maintain the relationship he had with the king. Balaam's frustration, he cannot experience what he hoped. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. He could not experience that. He could not experience that. A young lady refused to get saved because she knew in about a week her boyfriend would come home for a few days from the service. And they had some evenings planned, evenings of being together and fun and so forth. She had those planned. The evening, the young man came to the house. She was upstairs making ready. Her mother shouted upstairs, "The dear so-and-so is here." And hurry on, and she heard no reply, but she figured that she heard a voice. And so the mother went on to talk with the young man. But the young lady upstairs delayed her coming. She shouts again and says, "You must hurry up. You mustn't keep him waiting," calling the young man's name. And yet there still was no reply. She goes up to try to urge her on. And when she was sitting right before the mirror with her hand with a comb in her hair. And she was as dead as a doornail. She had rejected the Lord Jesus a week ago in a circumstance like this because she wanted to have this time with her friend when he came from the service. She rejected Christ, but she couldn't maintain what she desired. Or she couldn't experience what she desired. She wanted a time of fun with her friend, but she died before and listened. Balaam could not experience what he desired. He wanted to die the death of the righteous and his last end to be like his. Oh, what frustration. Thank God that's never true with the child of God. That's never true, because when we commit our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we trust Him as our Savior, then we have that assurance that whether awake or asleep, that's the way Paul puts it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, whether awake or asleep or dead or alive, it is well. The assurance is there. We will be with the Lord. You need not worry. We will die the death of the righteous, or we will be raptured with the rapture of the righteous, if you want to coin that expression. Yes, friends, listen. The child of God, because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, do not know this kind of frustration. I close. Note Balaam's death. In chapter 24, he leaves. He leaves the king. He resorted to enchantment. He went up to the devil. And after he found out that the devil's power couldn't work, he set his face towards the wilderness, a place of barrenness, a place speaks of rejection. Balaam leaves the presence of the king, a dejected man, a man of failure, a man unfulfilled. Oh, there are so many people like this right here in this country. People dejected because of the fact that they had anticipated great things in their way of life, only to find that the bubble burst and what they had expected never happened. They tried the drug culture and they arose to great ecstasy the time, but today they are as confused and bewildered as they could ever be. Ah, my friend, listen, dejected yet? Because of not being able to experience what they had hoped. Balaam left a dejected man, an unfulfilled man. And my friends, let me tell you, the devil will ever fool you. I always think of the Ethiopian eunuch who, in spite of what he was, he turns to religion. He was chancellor of the exchequer in Ethiopia, the minister of finance. He was a trusted man. He was a eunuch. He had morality. All of these things going for him. And I could hear the devil saying, that's all you need, you know. All you need, my friends, is to get a lot and to have a lot of friends and this thing and the next thing and everything will be all right. But the fact that the eunuch turned to religion was a testimony against the devil's law. The devil could never fulfill the human being. Only God could do that. The Bible says he fills the heart with good things. Only God can do that. And thank God for every person who has experienced that fact. And if you're here tonight and you haven't, you may. Yes, my friends, Balaam left unfulfilled. He leaves not only dejected, but he leaves rejected. Rejected by the God of heaven. His last words were words of judgment, verse 17 of chapter 24. Judgment eventually on him, and judgment on the Moabites and the Midianites. His last words were that of judgment because he was rejected by the God of heaven, but also, my friends, he was rejected by the king. Verse 11 of chapter 24. And in chapter 31 and verse 8, when God sent judgment upon the Midianites, the Moabites, when Israel armed themselves and went up against them, and thousands were destroyed, among those persons who were destroyed was Balaam. He was thrust through with the sword. He died a violent death. Oh, my friends, he did not have to die a violent death. He did not have to have that kind of end. All he needed to do was surrender his life to God, and he would have had that joy of dying the death of the righteous. He would have had that joy, and you too might have that joy. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, the death of the wicked would be one of great sorrow and sadness. I understand that when Voltaire the atheist was dying, he clutched the sheet, he grabbed the curtain, he rocked the bed on which he was sleeping. He tried to get up to prance. If he could get something in his hands, he would throw it. And he screamed, the demons, the fire, hell, hell is coming. And I understand the nurse that nursed him vowed that she'll never nurse another atheist for all the money in France. That's how the wicked die. That's how the man outside of Jesus Christ, that's how the person whose knows not God passes from time into eternity. Listen, friends, but they that trust him dies the death of the righteous. For them it becomes absent from the body, present with the Lord, a desire never fulfilled. What about you tonight, my friend? Are you saved? Can you say tonight, deep down in your heart, that you know you will die?